Our next presenter is Levita Joseph Brown from Marion County, and she's going to be talking to us about the role of disease intervention specialists in the prevention of congenital syphilis.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here, and thank you for allowing me to speak with you today. So, CDC reported that congenital syphilis cases increased between the period of 2012 and 2014 from 334 cases to 458 cases. Although in Indiana we reported 8 cases statewide, I'm happy to stand here today and tell you, well, maybe not so happy because I wish it was zero, but we only reported 1 case in Indianapolis. And this was basically due to the work that the DIS did when following up with these cases. So, during my presentation, I will describe the DIS efforts in managing these cases, the outcomes we have achieved, the barriers we faced, and how we address these barriers, and the benefits of effective disease intervention efforts. This slide just basically shows Indiana and how the districts are broken down. The fuchsia colored area is Indianapolis. That's the area that we'll be focusing on today. I just wanted to show you that so you have an idea. Okay, during this review, all cases of pregnant women with positive non-treponemal syphilis tests or an RPR reported in District 5 were reviewed and researched. The data were reported electronically through the Indiana State Investigating Monitoring Surveillance System, better known as SWIMS, and this data was entered into SWIMS by both the DIS and surveillance personnel. Those with positive confirmatory test results who were reported as morbidity were reviewed further to determine the DIS activity completed, their stage in diagnosis, and each infant's outcome. These reviews are routinely conducted to ensure that all infected or exposed receive the appropriate testing or treatment, to identify missed opportunities, and to provide DIS assistance if needed. Okay. This slide just shows a basic overview of what the DIS do when they're following up with anyone who tests positive for any STD, whether it be gonorrhea, syphilis, HIV. But in order to manage these maternal cases, DIS had to intensify their efforts to ensure that everyone was treated and the infants were not born with congenital syphilis. There were numerous conversations held with providers and patients, field investigation activities to get partners in, and quite often this went beyond the required number of visits or phone calls as required by CDC or Indiana State Department of Health. So I reviewed a total of 48 females who were identified with positive non-treponemal tests, and of these, 27 females were found to have syphilis. Of these, only one, like I said before, had a congenital syphilis case, and this was mainly due to the mother's refusal to come in and get treatment, no matter how we followed up with her or what we tried. She just didn't comply. Okay. As you would see on this slide, the average time from time to treat, basically from the time the person was tested to the time when they got treatment, was 13.7 days. 59% or 27 of the cases were deemed to have early syphilis, as I said before, and many hours were spent by the DIS trying to follow up with these individuals, making phone calls to the patients, to the providers, conducting record searches to make sure whether they got treatment, conducting interviews. And in looking at this slide, you might think that they had 27 cases, they did 27 field visits, but when you consider that 12 individuals out of the 27, the DIS made one phone call and either got them into treatment to conduct their interview or found out that they had already been treated and was able to conduct their interview, having to conduct 28 field visits, in addition to the 93 patient phone calls, that's a lot of work for the DIS to conduct. And I might add here that 8 of the 28 field visits that I mentioned here was done to that one particular female who refused to come in for treatment. So let me go back a minute. Before I go on to the barriers, in reviewing the cases, I found that 20 of the females were brought in for treatment by DIS, which means that the DIS efforts actually encouraged that patient to come in for treatment. 7 of the cases we found had been treated prior to the DIS conducting their follow-up, and they were able to conduct their interviews. DIS spent approximately 22.61 days following up with each individual. In my opinion, maybe the person or the company that created the Timex watch created the DIS, because DIS, honestly, they take a licking, but they keep on ticking. The barriers we face, I'm sure, are not unlike those barriers seen statewide. We have no response from patients when we follow up, refusal to accept the required treatment or to make an appointment for treatment, and at times little or no cooperation from the provider. In these cases, since we had no delays in provider reporting lab results, this did not present as a barrier in any of these cases. In some cases, as I previously noted, we needed assistance to get the patients in. Sometimes the supervisors had to get involved, the medical director had to get involved, or the health director. And in this one maternal case that we talked about with the congenital case, we actually had to get a health directive in order to get her in. And it wasn't until she was told that the health directive has been issued that she realized the intensity and she came in to get the treatment. Benefits of disease intervention. As you may know, the benefits of disease intervention specialists' efforts include but are not limited to increased awareness and hopefully compliance, contact tracing or access to care, which results in the reduction of the spread of diseases, and hopefully prevention of congenital syphilis infection in these cases, but hopefully overall in all STDs and HIV. So in summary, DIS followed up with 48 females who had positive non-treponemal tests for syphilis. Of these, 27 were infected, with only one resulting in a congenital case. And my appreciation for the DIS in their persistence, resilience, determination, their commitment is immeasurable. Without the DIS efforts, this wouldn't be possible, and we probably would have 48 congenital cases. I don't know. But the DIS, without their efforts, 74% of these women may not have been adequately treated for their infection. Thus, we see here that DIS intervention specialists are very important to the congenital syphilis prevention. In conclusion, DIS hard work pays off. In this instance, babies were born without having congenital syphilis. Mothers were adequately treated early in their infection. And I do believe that with commitment, collaboration, partnerships, our determination, we as a team throughout the state can create healthier communities. At this time, I would like to open the floor to questions, and my question to you would be, what are you doing in your area differently to result in more productive results? What strategies have you implemented that were instrumental in preventing the spread of diseases in your area, or how can we work together to make the much-needed changes or improvements in our communities? At this time, I would like to thank Dr. Janet Arno and Justin Holderman. Janet Arno is our medical director. Justin Holderman is our surveillance supervisor. and without them both, I couldn't put this presentation together. I would especially like to thank the DIS in District 5 for their hard work and efforts, because without them, our disease and morbidity numbers in Indiana, in Indianapolis, would be much, much higher. So thank you to everyone involved.
Any questions? I have a couple minutes for questions. Great.
Good morning. Deanne Gruber from Louisiana. And I think your presentation it's very valuable to have DIS who are able to intervene during pregnancy. One of the challenges that we have in Louisiana, though, is identifying women who are pregnant. And, through our surveillance data, when we get lab reports and it may come in as being late latent, we don't follow up, and we don't have the pregnancy status come in on those lab reports. So I was wondering, as far as if you or others have a system in place on how to then verify that someone is pregnant and they actually do need some follow-up.
We do in Indiana. We do follow up with 745s, mainly to confirm that they are a true 745. We, in speaking with the patients, one of the questions we ask is, "Are you pregnant?" When we follow up with providers, we also ask the providers, "Is this patient pregnant? Have you done a pregnancy test? If not, then we try to get them have a pregnancy test to make sure that they are not pregnant."
Because
we just have to look it up on a centralized
database.
So one of the things we're really fortunate about is that all of our hospitals and major healthcare systems are linked by the Indiana Network for Patient Care. So once we get a report, we can look up the name, and it's really, really easy. Almost everybody has a pregnancy test if they walk through anything in Indiana. So we were able to look that up really fast, and usually we have that before we even call the patient.
One more question. I think we can take one more question.
Hi, good morning. Great talk. Jerusha Barton, ORIS Fellow with CDC. Maybe I missed it, but I was wondering what the age distribution was of those 27 female cases. Thank you.
Dr. Arnold, do you remember that age difference?
I don't. I really don't. Most of the ones I dealt with were around 30.
Yeah.
Around, okay, it was so young. Mostly reproductive age.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.